Right.
It's kind of funny how things happen.
Mm.
That we recorded a couple of podcasts a while back around this whole DMT thing.
Mm.
And we recorded three and we've looked and looked and looked and looked everywhere for that third one and we can't find it.
And it's like, did we actually record a third?
We actually did. But the thing is that it's kind of funny because the whole intention of the third podcast was to talk about what happened after our experience. Yeah. And we're now quite a bit after that experience and it's actually not a bad way for us to reflect on what actually has happened and what's transpired since we went and had our first experience and maybe our second or third experience with the DMT.
When is the last time you had one?
Oh, it was a while back.
Like, is it 4 months?
I stopped at least.
Okay, why did you stop?
So I remember when it was offered and the potential to have the experience was presented.
Originally.
I was really clear that it wasn't something I had thought about or something I'd known a lot about. But I really listened to myself in terms of understanding if something's aligned for me.
Right.
And if it's a fuck yes, like I can feel it, even if I'm nervous, if I can feel it, it's a fuck yes, then I'm in, right? But if I'm kind of questioning in any way, then it would have been no. But when it first got presented to me, even though it was kind of a new thing, like I'd done some plant medicine before, but I hadn't done anything like this, it was a yes. I just felt it, that it was the right thing for me to do and that I wanted to experience it.
Right.
And then, you know, as we spoke in the last podcast, it was freaking full on. Like, it wasn't like a gentle, it wasn't like some of the other things I've experienced in the past. It was a gentle process. Probably after maybe the third or the fourth time I sat with it, I started to feel like my answer was, it wasn't that I didn't want to ever do it again. It was that there was something missing and I couldn't quite figure out what. And I just felt like I'm done. Like, I just had a very clear message that I'm done for now.
Right.
It wasn't like I'm done altogether. It was just like, I'm done for now. If I'm going to do plant medicine, it's not going to be this. The next thing is not going to be this.
Right.
You know what I mean? And I think what it is for me, and I think it's a piece that's missing in the plant medicine world. Well, that's what I was feeling at the time. I think we've found that there's other maybe practitioners and other people that can help facilitate that differently. But at that time, I felt like, as much as it was amazing, I feel like it's the knowledge that I already had with what we've done and my own prior personal work and the fact that I knew how to help process and integrate some of that stuff that helped me to integrate it.
Right.
And I didn't feel the facilitation of the integration, I think, was missing.
Right.
Does that make sense? From someone who really knew the medicine and could really help facilitate it. And so I feel like I was having the experience, and that experience isn't just that experience. It goes on, like, afterwards. It lasts for days. It lasts for weeks. And, you know, you'll be just going about your normal life and you'll have a flashback, or you'll be in a breathwork session and you'll have a flashback.
Right.
I mean, I went into Bali at one point and I went to the Pyramids of Chi in Ubud, which are amazing.
Right.
And I had
just explain briefly what that is.
The Pyramids of Chi, it's a place where they've built these pyramids and they're all soundproofed. And
right.
So what they do is a lot of sound healing work and sound work, really, necessarily healing. But one of the programs is a sound and light meditation thing. Mm-hmm. It was super cool. There was no headphones. It was like you lay on a waterbed.
Right.
And you have an eye mask if you need it, but above you is all lights. And as you have your eyes closed and you're listening to the music, he's playing didgeridoos and he's playing this phenomenal music.
Right,
and
you're
doing this meditation thing and the lights are flickering above you, even though you've got your eyes closed.
Right.
You see all the shapes and the patterns that you see when you're in that experience.
Right.
I spoke to the facilitator afterwards and I said, have you done DMT? He said, yeah. And I'm like, it was so intense for me because I'd just come out of it. It was really bringing me back to that
place. But was it DMT intense?
It was pretty intense, yeah. It wasn't – nothing's ever that intense, the DMT intense, yeah. because you can't come out of that. It has to just happen.
Yeah.
What I did in that, because it was so – it was quite full on, and because I think I'd been so fresh out of my DMT experience, the lights were so intense. I had to put the eye mask on to really block that out and just have the sound part for certain parts of the time.
Right.
Anyway, so the whole thing I'm just knocking things everywhere. So the whole thing, I think, what the missing piece for me was the integration.
Right.
Even though you and I, we've done so much work, we had conversations around it, which was really helpful. And then I knew to do other bits and pieces to help integrate.
Right.
But I don't feel that that was facilitated as well. So I just had to stop for that time. Does that make sense?
Right. So just let me get this right. So you feel one of the reasons you stopped was because the integration wasn't there. And you needed to integrate yourself.
Yeah, and I felt like I wasn't ready to go back into another session of it without having fully landed with what had happened. Like I was having flashbacks for ages afterwards, which is fine. There's nothing wrong with that. But I like to talk things out. I like to hash things out.
Yeah.
And I wanted to be able to feel like, okay, what's going on here? What's happening? And I know how to do work on myself and whatever, but I don't know. I just felt that there was a missing piece. And I feel like the integration was probably the missing piece.
Yeah. Look, I definitely agree with you. If you're going to do this, I'll put it differently. I think that within the plant medicine scene, there is an absolute need for facilitators that know how to help people integrate, because you can walk out of that scenario, and if you don't have access to somebody to talk to and somebody to chat with, and like, you know, they tell you, hey, you're probably going to have a flashback. I had numerous flashbacks, especially at nighttime. I was having flashbacks at nighttime. Another thing that was happening for me was I was getting these sort of nervous system cramp like experiences, and they went away. So, and I was getting, there'd be a full body, like a full body contraction. Oh my God. And I'd be like, and then they went away after the use of DMT. But I needed somebody to be able to tell me, okay, this is what's got. Now, I'm a good GPS for myself. I know how to navigate through things, and I know what's real and what's not real. But if you don't know that, and this is completely new to you, you need to go with a facilitator that is going to tell you, hey, I'm going to spend time with you afterwards. And that means for days. You know, we're going to have access. We'll have a chat on if you do it on a Friday, we'll have a chat on a Monday, a chat on a Wednesday, a chat on a Friday. And we'll do this for a couple of weeks just to make sure everything's okay. And you can throw at me what's coming up, and I can give you a different perspective on what's happening. So I think that it needs that.
Yeah, we were even having a chat last night about it, and about how because we've done so much of this type of work.
Yeah.
So much of the work of going within ourselves, of equilibrating, of finding that space. We have a baseline understanding that if I had done this prior to having done that work, I think that without proper integration, I would have been feeling quite bereft, like I would have been feeling quite alone, feeling quite worried about what had happened, because I wouldn't have had a framework to be able to match that to.
Yeah, because I mean, it blows open the top of your head. It kind of blows open the top of your head. But if you can't just be, because there's people who are out there that are just going around spooning this to people, and you know, they don't know how to actually help a person integrate. Yeah. So you have to be really dealing with someone that's first off been doing it for a long time.
Yeah.
And ask the question of, okay, well, how would you help me integrate?
Yeah.
What is the system upon which you use to help a person integrate once they've gone through this? Because you're going to need integration once you go through it.
And I think that in hindsight, I probably would have set that up a little differently. I probably just assumed that the integration was going to happen.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? We were given a warning, like a pro forma of what to expect and what sorts of things might happen, which was really helpful. But I don't know, and there was nothing wrong with how I experienced it. It was just there came a point where I went, right, no, no, stop now, yeah. and then come back to it when you feel called again. Having said that, there were lots of things that I feel, you know, because we're talking about how it was afterwards, and there was lots of things I feel shifted. I mentioned in one of the other podcasts, one of the earlier ones, that I remember in the lead up to things, you know, you and I were talking about a couple of things, and you were personally kind of going through a couple of bits and pieces, and I could really tell that you were really making an effort to deal with those things. Like,
yeah.
I think we said about you taking things personally. Do you know what
yeah,
I mean? And
yeah.
You were really making an effort to not take some of these things personally. And what I noticed after the DMT stuff, that was no longer an effort
yeah.
for you. You know, in the weeks after that, it was like, it kind of landed what we'd been talking about. It landed intellectually prior to that, but yeah. it hadn't landed emotionally or physically.
In terms of my expression of myself. Yeah.
And so I noticed that for you. Mm-hmm. And then for me, I started to notice little things. And I think for me, one of the big things for me was expression. There was a couple of times where, you know, I was doing quite a bit of sounding, you know, quite a bit of noise making, yep. which was, you know, for
wailing.
Me, wailing. It was real Italian, like yeah. Like someone had died yeah. wailing.
Santa Maria.
Your accent still hasn't improved, mate.
Yeah.
I think for me, you know, I'd learnt a lot about the voice womb connection years, like a while back. And realize that actually there's an integral link between a woman who's like when women who your voice and your womb are created at the same time in like this they're connected.
Did you say voice wound or voice womb?
Voice and womb.
Okay.
Are connected at the same time in utero, and they're actually if you look at the images they're actually very alike. You
right.
know? And so there, some of the stuff I think that I had to process
right.
was very aligned with my voice. And as much as I speak in front of people all the time, a lot of my expression in my perspective was limited because I felt like some of the stuff as a kid, I felt like I couldn't fully express myself.
Right.
And so some of the expression that I experienced during those sessions was really like,
It was guttural,
right? And I remember thinking, this is really unusual for me to be doing this, but it's okay. And it was like I didn't give a shit who was around and what was there. I just needed to.
You couldn't give a shit, dude.
I wasn't aware enough to give a shit in that sense. But my point is that I think as like in my knowledge of what I knew around all of that, that was an important part of the process because it really helped me to become more expressive in my own way after.
Can you just, because you've said something there, just can you just elaborate on what you mean by voice, womb, like, and they look the same. So what, the voice box looks the same?
The larynx, if you look at the throat.
Right, looks the same as.
It looks the same as if you look at the uterus.
Right, okay.
The if you look at images of them next to each other, they have very, very similar images.
Right.
And even the vocal cords and stuff and you look at the vagina, it's very, very similar.
The
way it's set up.
Okay.
And so
Do you feel like
sexuality,
that was
expression, all of those things, there's a lot of interconnection. Actually, when I was at the Pyramids of Chi, I did a little workshop around that whole voice and womb connection
right.
as well, and just understanding that certain sounds vibrate and resonate in a certain way. And I really, as much as I, like I said, as much as I'm really good at expressing myself in lots of ways when I speak, there's a lot of stuff that feels uncomfortable to say or to do.
Right.
And I've really been more and more aware of that, particularly after the DMT, because I was kind of forced to go into that space when I was there, moaning and groaning like, you know, whatever was going on in that moment. There was a lot happening, you know. So for me, after that, I think that's what I noticed. I also felt like, I was quite vulnerable after that first session. It was very, there wasn't a lot of sounding after the first session. I just felt like I needed, I remember coming over and sitting next to you and you put your arm around me and I just felt like I needed some human type of touch
to
hold me to here. It was like I'd been there and it was like I had to be here again.
Right.
And then after that, I think you called me that evening and we had a chat and that was helpful and was grounding and stuff like that. I didn't feel like I needed that as much after the second time. The second time it was like, no.
You're a natural.
Not for that. But it was like a different.
I got this.
It was like a different energy. And it's like every time you went through, there was a different. Like, I don't know, a different part of you got expressed through that experience.
It's that,
you know?
It's, I wonder if it's that thing of we become familiar with it. Do you know what I mean? Like we become familiar with, okay. It's like the expectation prior to you turning up there is I'm always very nervous before I get in there. I'm like, fucking hell, you know. And then once I am in and I'm under, when I come out, I'm like, okay, yeah. I could go again, you know, I'm not so nervous, you know. There's actually nothing to be worried about.
Yeah.
But it's that first punch true that's into that celestial consciousness that's the first thing that you're friggin' nervous about, you know.
And I a few times after you went and did it with a couple of other people and whatever and I wasn't going to come along and I ended up coming along just to be there because I really enjoyed that process of sitting with someone as they were coming through not during, because you just don't like during, they have to have their own process, but just as they're coming back, just knowing and just having, being able to sit with someone and hold their hand and being able to watch and be present when somebody's experiencing that. That was my way of helping them to integrate, even though it wasn't a full integration, obviously.
Yeah.
It was just, hey, there's somebody here that gets what's happening for you, what's going on.
Mm.
But you've since, I mean, it's a bit of time has passed since we've,
done
it's
it together.
A while, yeah, since we've done it together. But even since that last session you went.
Yeah.
But you've now gone into a state where you now, I think you understand the importance of that integration as well, don't you?
Because I think there's, you know, a lot of what I was looking for, I now more understand the whole letting go process better, and I'll do my damnedest to try to explain it here now. But the experience you're talking about where you came along, I also had my father with me as well, because I said to my dad, you should come and at least watch me have this experience.
See what's possible.
And so that was really, really beautiful to have him there. And before I went in, he asked lots of questions. And then when I went under, he came out. When I came out, he was there holding my hand. And I was like, oh, my God, you know, everything's actually okay. And it's with the process of letting go, my deeper understanding of the process of letting go now. And I integrate, I have a coach that I bounce off that helps me integrate what's going on and where I'm at. And what I've started to realize is, you know, my first concept of letting go was like, okay, just let go and just let life and the energy be what it is. But now it's gone to, okay, well, what am I actually letting go of? And first off, when a person has the experience, the reason they feel as if they're having a near-death experience is because it shuts down it shuts completely down the left side of the brain. The left side of the brain goes completely offline. When the left side of the brain goes completely offline, what happens then is you feel as if you're not this physical person.
And the left side is all the logical stuff.
Logical is the
analytical side.
Excuse me, bull in the china shop, trying to work things out. So you have a relief from that, and then you're catapulted into just the right side of the brain, which is just pure consciousness, you know, just love, empathy, understanding what the whole meaning of it is, is shown to you in that moment. And what I've come to realize is with holding, you know, when we have things happen to us that we perceive are negative, and we have that moment where we realize that what was negative that was happening to us was actually full of energy. It was full of creative energy. It was full of energy that allows us to master an event or master our lives or master who we are. What happens is that in that moment when we realize all of the energy and all of the beauty and all of the benefits and all of the magic that comes out of that, we have a tendency to push towards that magic. And as we push towards that magic, we the cost of pushing towards that magic is to let go of the energy of where that magic came from.
No, okay, you've got to say that again. Explain it again.
When you... We are sensory human beings.
Yep.
We want to experience things in halves.
Yep.
We chase the pleasure without the pain. We chase the happy without the sad. We chase the good without the bad. So we get around in halves.
Yep.
And then you have a realization that it's all one, right? But in that realization, you're still a sensory human being.
Yep.
You're still experiencing thing in halves.
Yep.
So then you have this realization of the things that you perceived were negative or holding you back. In those things are full of creative energy. They are full of, they are loaded with what is required for you to master your life. So when you realize that, you have a propulsion towards, okay, this has shown me this, so now I want to master my life. So now you push towards the plus side of it. But the cost of pushing towards the plus side of it is you lose the magic, energy or the magic of the negative side of it. So you're now pushing towards the plus side of it, and then you're losing the magic of the negative side of it. So now you're caught again in a different level of that push-pull. So when you're caught in a different level of that push-pull, that then becomes the dance. And now you're going, okay, so out of this came that, so I'm going to create this. But we always have a hidden desire to be more of service and create bigger things outside of that push-pull dance. But to go to what's next means we have to let go of that push-pull dance. What I mean by that is letting go is being able to understand that if you let go of that push-pull dance, you're going to have to be vulnerable and afraid and scared, and you're going to have to live in the land of, I don't know if this is going to work. I don't know if this is going to happen.
Yeah.
I don't know if we're going to be able to do this.
Yeah.
I don't know if we're going to be able to get there.
Yeah.
But letting go of that is where pure possibility comes in.
Yeah.
And ultimately that's what we want, but we're afraid of it. So because we're afraid of it, we revert back to what we were doing previously, which is that push-pull dance.
Yeah. 100%.
So we keep going back to the push-pull dance, but it's costing us our vision, our destiny, our mission, and where it is we want to be.
Yeah.
And so I think the exercise now of letting go for me is about being able to see that I'm doing that. And when I'm not sure, and when I'm uncertain, and when I don't know if it's going to work, and when I don't know whether we're going to be able to make it through this, and when I don't know if I'm ever going to be able to reach the potential of what I want to be able to do with what I want to do for people in the world, that's where the magic comes.
It's funny because, like, we haven't had this conversation in this way, right, before, like, just now.
Yeah.
But, like, I've gone...
Apart from all the prep work we did.
No. but I've had a very similar, through my process of, you know, some of my coaching and some of the other things that have happened since the plant medicine and in the last few months, is had a really similar realization that the empty space, like... We kind of try and fill that empty space, that not knowingness, that I suppose because we're so big on, you know, with us, we're so big on, we've got this mission, we've got this vision we want to achieve, we've got this outcome that we want to get to, right? And there's sometimes in that process that you feel like, I don't know, there's this empty space of lostness. And it's not a lostness, but it feels like lostness because you don't quite know where on the scale you are in terms of your outcome necessarily. So it feels like this empty space. It feels like, where to from here? It's like, I asked for this, but also how do I behave in this space, in this thing? But that's actually where the magic happens, because the magic is in, oh, I'm actually in the land of possibility right now.
Yeah.
I'm not in the land of I identify as X, Y, Z, and therefore that's where I'm going or what the next thing is. I'm looking for that transition, that transformation, that growth. And in that space of the growth, there's a space of, like, that top down that we talk about where it's like, whoa, it's all of it and none of it. And there's this, like, space and yeah. kind of try and fill the space but because with all a, that stuff.
Yeah, because it because but and the problem is the minute you start, you know, it's this content context thing that I've been really spending a lot of time understanding is that the minute you because when you don't want to be in that space of possibility, because in that space of possibility you don't know if it's going to work.
Yeah.
You don't know if it's going to happen. You don't know if it's going to be as good. And but ultimately what you don't know is and what you want to know is it going to be as good for the person that I have compassion and empathy for and care for that I'm trying to help? So what do you do? You can't answer that question. Is it going to be as good? Is it going to help them? And because you can't answer that question, you go, okay, well, let's just go back to what we were doing because that worked.
Yeah.
But then that stops.
Because it only worked up to a point.
Yeah, because consciousness requires that you grow. And it only works up to a certain point. So letting go for me has been about being, okay, you have to let go of the old systems for the new systems to come in. And the reason I think it's been so difficult for me to get my head around that. And because I was going, okay, let go. I'm fucking learning to let go. I'm having this experience of letting go. I'm physiologically experiencing what it is to let go. But what does it mean neurologically, psychologically? What does it mean in terms of consciousness? And then I was thinking, fuck, maybe I'm not intelligent enough to actually understand that. And I remember sitting with another healer a couple of weeks ago. I was like, I wonder if I'm actually intelligent enough to actually understand what it is it's trying to get me to understand. If I don't have the intelligence, then I won't understand.
But do you think, yeah.
So it's like running back to the old box of tools to go, hey, they're fucking still here. Yeah. You know, they work somewhat, but letting go is being able to go,
okay not to understand.
Yeah, and no matter what happens, it's going to be okay. Yeah. No matter what happens. And the other thing is that, you know, the more we get older and the more we get stuck in our ways and hardwire our brain neurologically, I mean, for me, going and doing the plant medicine is like unwiring that a little bit. You know, it's having that break from the logical side of the brain that just shuts down the minute you fucking hit DMT, that DMT wave. The minute you're in that DMT flow state, that part of the brain is shut off, and therefore you're experiencing, and it's like it's only letting me see these things incrementally.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
I think that
because I'm an impatient fucker, you know, like I want to know, motherfucker, what is like even working with my coaches, I'm like, dude, whatever the fuck it is you're trying to tell me, stop fucking beating around the bush and tell me. Do you know what I mean? Like, what are you trying to tell me?
Yeah.
And then he goes, I realize that I'm just going back. You just, this is the content. This is what you do, Mitch, when you don't want to be in, because, let it happen.
Because you and I have a big on, one of our shadow values for the both of us is control.
Yeah.
Right? So we want some level of control, like that's important for us, right?
Yeah, well, we're meant to be in control for everybody.
Of course. That's
I'm meant to be in control for everybody.
That's right. I'm supposed to have all the answers because, you know, whatever. And so we want to be in control. And I think that where I get wobbly is when I feel like I'm out of control.
Mm.
And that space of nothingness feels like an out of controlness. Now, it actually is a beautiful space when I can let go and be in it. But it feels like the thing that I have latched onto in my life as an important shadow value for me is control. And if I'm in that space, I'm no longer in control. And so it's like that, what I, for me, part of what I am learning through all of this is that it's okay not to be in control. It's okay not to have all of the answers right now. I have to let go. The letting go for me is about letting go of the grip and letting go of the control, letting go of being right. Some people would rather be right than loved. It's something that we say all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And for me, it's like I will literally go out of my way to tell people not to tell people that they're wrong, but to go, you know, I'll prove something. I can't just let something go. If somebody says something, I'll be like, well, no, Google it. Look at this. You know what I mean? I have to, like, a lot of my identity is wrapped up on some of those shadows and some of those shadow values. And so the letting go part of me, the being in the space for me is being okay with being not in control, being okay with not being right, being okay with going, okay, it's okay. I don't, that's just a part of the identity that I think I need to have in order to get to this next place.
Mm.
And I think some of these plant medicines, what they've done for me is give me that feeling, that expression of that feeling of what it's like to not be in control, to not be right, and to not have all the answers, and I'm still okay.
Yeah. It's a real fucking, it's a real conundrum, you know, and it's also not.
Yeah.
You know, it's a real, like you ask for the learning and the learning is deeply profound, deeply profound, you know, and it's not found in any book. Like you can't write about this stuff because the minute you go writing about it, you are just speaking about it. Like I'm contenting the problem. And the minute I go talking about it, the minute I go saying anything, the minute my mouth opens or my brain kicks in, I'm losing the context of what I actually am and what it's actually trying to show me. So truly letting go is just in nothingness. And that's where true potential, now that's where true potential lives. And for when we were young, this was very familiar to us. This was the process. You know, you loved and lapped up the I don't know. You know, and you didn't want to know, because you just bathed in this, wow, you know, look at this thing. And then, you know, the child brain needs to place everything and put it in place so that we can get you through life safely without getting harmed. But there is a bliss and a magic that happens when you learn and you have that experience of, okay, we let's just see what happens.
So essentially, I think that's what this work has done for us up until this point, you know.
And I think, you know, for me, I'm committed every month now. Every month I'm going to go and have an experience. Every month for the moment, my commitment is I want to have the experience so that I can keep getting and tapping into and immersing myself in the knowledge, do you know what I mean? But not without somebody
helping to facilitate
afterwards. Okay, yeah. This is what you're experiencing. This is what is happening, you know. Because people think integration is about, oh, you know, well, this happened for this reason and that happened. That's fucking petty nonsense bollocks. That's not what integration is. Integration is internal greatness has been accessed through the process of dialogue with a mind that allows you to let go of the mind that you're in.
Yeah. So we'll come back another time and talk about where we're... Where that's taken us, I suppose.
Yeah.
Good chat.